Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back to Hashtag Mom's Got This. I'm Michelle Parr.
And I'm Stacey Eagle.
And we are here with another awesome boss mom.
A really awesome boss mom who I have actually known through business, but we haven't seen each other live in person in a lot of 15 years. So
Rocky Merchandani is here. I just wanted to put your name out there, Rocky, because we're talking about
like
you.
My ghost voice.
I know. she's a journalist and an author.
Yes, and we're actually looking at her book right now, which says Super Satya.
Saves the day,
which we're very excited to read. So I want to go back in time with you.
Let's do it.
I knew you before you were a mother.
Yes.
And you've been a journalist for how many years now?
Since I was in the fourth grade. Professionally. Professionally,
yes.
Since 2003.
Makes perfect sense while your daughter is a rapper. So you started your... Are you from New York?
I grew up in Jersey. I still live in New Jersey, in Hoboken, New Jersey. And I went to college in Boston, and I worked at the local paper, the Boston Herald, full-time my senior year of college.
And then you went on to...
I went from there, from the Boston Herald to the New York Post.
Right,
and then to the Daily News. And now I'm at Dow Jones, where I'm the editorial director for diversity and inclusion.
Incredible. It feels like that's an amazing place to be, and especially the title of that job right now, in today's time.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful place to work, and it really is like a place where good ideas are encouraged. But to think that like that is a job that I have now, growing up as the child of immigrants in New Jersey in the 80s and 90s, it does feel full circle in a lot of ways.
So take us back to when you had how old is your daughter? When did you have her? And how does she play into your career journey?
Yeah, so my daughter turned 6 on November 17th, so yesterday.
Happy birthday!
Thanks. I feel like we've had so many parties and so much cake. And she was born in 2013, and she was born when I was the managing editor at the New York Daily News, which was truly one of the best jobs I've ever had until the Daily News had massive layoffs, and I had to lay off a huge, huge chunk of my staff. And in sort of having to go through something as difficult as that, and seeing who I had to lay off and who I wanted to be at that time, and then going home to her really made me think about what I wanted to do with my life. And I ended up staying at the Daily News after the layoffs just for a few months, and I took 6 months off. Mm. I quit my job and I took 6 months off, and I went to Asia. Where my grandmother's sisters live. So I went to Hong Kong and the Philippines.
Wow.
My grandmother's passed. And I spent some time with them.
With your daughter?
Like, yeah, with my daughter.
Wow.
And my mother and my father. My husband stayed here. I just took some time to think about who I was by hearing about who they are. And I just turned on the tape recorder and asked them a lot of questions about what it was like when they were growing up, when my grandmother was growing up, the choices they made, why they made them. I just did a lot of listening and a lot of feeling. I talked to a lot of folks who'd been refugees, like my grandparents were, who had moved to the Philippines at that time. So they were colleagues, you know, of my grandfather's who I never met. And I took it all in, and I just did a lot of soul searching by doing a lot of listening.
Seems like you were doing what you love to do as a journalist and also getting time with your family.
That's it. I mean, if I could, all I ever wanted to do was to be able to share people's stories. And so to be able to do that and take that time just to think about the things that we're always too busy to think about, right? Where we come from, who we are, where our families come from. And just to like give that space was just a huge blessing for me.
It's amazing.
Why'd you come back?
Your husband?
Well, I knew that I was going to come back. I had to come back for life.
Yeah.
My daughter was very little at the time. I think she was just 2 or so. So she was portable, right? Like really easy to travel with her.
Yeah.
And very well taken care of when you go and stay with family. But I had to come back. I wanted to come back. I wanted to be in a newsroom again. I wanted to work. I just wasn't sure. When I left the Daily News, I was just in a really sad place. It was really a hard thing to do, and it was a hard thing to watch. And so I wanted to figure out how I was going to draw boundaries around my life, around the things that mattered to me, and what I was going to allow in and what I wasn't going to allow in anymore. I feel like I also have to tell you that at when my daughter, her first year of life was very, very difficult. She had cancer, and she's fine now, and she'll be like 100 one day. But there was it was a compounding of why am I here moments for me.
Yeah.
And it had happened a few times since her birth. And so it...
Did she have cancer when you were at the Daily News?
She did.
So you were dealing with the Daily News and then learning and that
were,
she had
cancer. And I will tell you that they were beautiful to me because I came back from maternity leave essentially and we got a diagnosis. So it was really...
How was that diagnosed?
Yeah, it was an accident actually. I mean, it depends how you see life, right? It was an accident, I suppose. But of course, we were fully guided to the fact that she had cancer so she could be better so our lives would take a different turn. But she had a UT. The doctors were like, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Finally, one of the pediatricians was like, you're the mom. If you think something's wrong, something must be wrong. So they did a urine test. It came back. She was fine. Everyone's like, oh, my God, you have postpartum. Rocky's broken now. And they called back 36 hours later. And they said, actually, you have to rush her to the hospital. She has a UTI that's hyper-resistant to oral antibiotics. Mm. And in discovering this, what they thought was a UTI, they found a tumor sitting between her kidney and her aorta, which was cancer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
It was a lot of trust in doctors and a lot of prayers to all of the gods and all of the faiths. We had the whole world sort of in our corner. I was very quiet about it at the time, but the people that needed to know knew. And it was really just a lot of trust and a lot of faith.
Is this book about that?
It's not, but I think everything in some ways is about that from then on out. I don't know how, I'm not sure how to live anymore without considering the second chance that I got to be a mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so everything that I do, I think, is through that lens of is this worth it? Does it matter? Do I want to do this? And if the answer is no, then I'm not going to do it.
Right.
It just doesn't seem worth it.
How was you found out about her diagnosis, you were dealing with what you were dealing with at the New York Daily News. So it was these two worlds, all these things happening at once. Is that also why you took that journey?
Exactly. And I suppose that's how it happens, right? The universe presents the moments and then you're forced to decide, right? What am I going to do at this time? And when she got the diagnosis and the Daily News was so, so lovely and really gave me time to take care of my family with no fear that I was going to lose my job. And that is a beautiful thing. And that is a real gift. And so I was able to focus on my daughter. And I did that, and I came back, a second time. I'd come back from maternity leave, and I kind of disappeared for a while, and I came back again. And then things were falling apart there on a different level, right? And so I think all of that happening in the span of a year and a half, just, it was the call I needed to take inventory of really who I am and what I was going to do and what I was here for. And I'm just not sure that it was to do that.
Right. So,
It's a lot.
Well, no. I was just going to say that, you have to, when I have a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
So educating him on diseases and cancer and when people are older, why do they pass away?
That's
the time you're starting to talk about these things. As a parent, you sort of, if you haven't had someone who's a close friend at that age who's gone through it, you don't really discuss it. And it's something for me that I want to definitely educate Dylan on that, yes, children do get cancer. So I'm sure for you now, you're part of things that know that she has gotten past a certain point and you're always cheering another patient
always,
so you're a champion for that. And I'm very involved in breast cancer awareness for the youth and all these different things. And so I'm just curious for us as moms who are listening, everyone has a different way. And there's a reason you are involved with your child to be educating at this time. How would you advise us who we've never had anyone at a young age affected by cancer teach our children now?
That's such a good question. I thought for a while that maybe kids didn't need to know things, right? I was always very open with Satya. We've been open with her right from the beginning. she had to go for, you know, every 6 months, and she had to get checkups, and you just kind of like have to tell kids what they're there for, right? It doesn't make sense to not. And also, like, this is her story. The sooner she owns it, she'll be able to do a lot more with it. That's sort of what I believe. So we were very open with her about it. She's now 6. Things are different than when she was 2, because now there's real fear around things. And, like, she understands that people die from cancer. She's very involved. I'm the president of a pediatric cancer charity as well. It's called the Tomorrow's Children's Fund. It's been around for 30-plus years. And we do a lot of work for patients and patient families, families that are dealing with a pediatric cancer diagnosis. And she's, my kid's very involved in that, because this is all, I think, part of her larger story. And I think that, you know, I'm happy to do the work now, but she's going to also have to do the work at some point.
Right.
And so I just want her to understand what that feels like now. And I thought for a long time that, like, it's not the kind of thing that, what if she shared it with her friends? Because she's real matter of fact about it, as all kids are.
Right.
Like, we're at my friend's house, my friend Jill, she's the little son, Oliver, and we're all playing. He's a baby, he's like 5 months old. And she's telling me, she's like, oh, Oliver's reflux is so bad. I had to get this other formula. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. And my kid just looks at her in deadpan. She's like, "Is he? At least he doesn't have cancer."
She did.
And we were like, oh my God, Jill and I are on the floor. We're like, oh my God, is this what it's going to be like? Who does this? The kids are like, they're real matter of fact in life. Like, they don't know. And so we're dying laughing.
Dying.
What? Who says that?
Only a kid who has cancer says
right.
that.
She's like, well, at least they have cancer. And I was like, cool. Yeah, totally. But also, so like, she's like quite open about everything, as all children are. And we've been very open with the kids in her school, because we do a lot of fundraisers. We count on our community to show up for us, and they always do. So many of her friends have donated their birthdays. Aww. And so they don't take gifts. They don't take gifts. They take presents for kids in the hospital. That's because sweet. Their friend had cancer.
Wow.
I just got an email yesterday from a mom of a kid who was in her class last year. Not even the same class. Asher. He did not take gifts for his birthday. See, instead, he decided, because his friend Satya had cancer, he was going to donate his birthday.
Oh.
And he collected gift cards for the kids.
It's amazing.
Like, I didn't do anything.
It's amazing.
She just owned her story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The kid owned her story. The kid told her friends. The kid sees that we are involved in this community. It matters to us. And now she's had more than, at this point, it's more than 6 friends who have decided to donate their birthdays. They are 6 years old.
Wow.
Like, change is happening.
It's unbelievable.
You must be so proud. Like, I can't imagine how that feels.
It's so funny. My mom actually, she's like, you should be proud. And I'm not sure that I feel pride. I think I just feel, I feel really loved. Mm-hmm. And I feel really, really grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like those parents should be really proud of their kids, because this is like a second degree situation, right? It's their friend, and they're collecting gifts for kids they don't know.
It's unbelievable.
Those kids, those hearts, tell me they're not going to change the world.
So how do we...
They already did.
Yeah, they already did.
How do we get children who don't know that friend to play in that part? That's my... I would love, like, I think through education, there's Kindness Month, I think, happening now.
Yeah. So
but I'm sure I do think there's something to be said about the experience. And maybe there's a way, like, maybe 5 is the right age where you bring them to
start. But it's like awareness, right?
It's so awareness, yeah.
It's like, what are you, kids are all, like, they all have something that, like, they're really good at, whatever they make, like some kind of art. And so Satya was not good at art, but she thinks she's really good at art. So for the last couple of years, I've bought her these like wooden discs. Like, you can order them on Amazon. It's like 50 for whatever. And they're Christmas ornaments. And I would have her paint them. And then I would have her sell them. She would like for $1. And then we would donate that money, right? So I think that was a great way for her to be like, I can do this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will make this difference. Agreed. And it feels far away when you're young, but they get it.
Yeah.
Like, and they feel proud. They feel really proud that they're doing something kind. Even if they don't quite understand where the money is going to go, they will.
Right, right.
But there is a pride that they feel in being kind.
I think that's beautiful. And I think that's a great tip in terms of taking, like, if you're not a great artist, or if
she's not good. I mean, the apartments are ugly.
To sell.
But that's the thing about art. Even bad art is great.
Yeah. Yeah, and people love them because they're a dollar, and they know this girl in their community, and they know that she's doing something for other people. We sell them out every single year. Aww. Everyone has these, like, atrocious ornaments on their trees.
Where do you sell them?
Oh, any store in our town will be like, would you like to come? Athleta, the gym, amazing. City Hall, you name it. They're like, come on by. Chocopan is like a bakery in our town. They're like, come on by.
Amazing.
Sit here. Sell your ornaments. Like every year, everyone in our town must have these like disgusting ornaments.
You gotta go buy some ornaments.
I know. Well, or you should sell them
fantastic.
Online.
So on Instagram too, like I'll post them and people will be like, can we get one? Can I have one? Can I have one? And I just throw them in the mail.
Yeah.
And they'll like send me a Venmo, or they'll like donate directly to the St. Jude Link because I do a race every year. And they'll just donate directly. And I charge a dollar. I don't think I've ever, no one ever gives me a dollar.
Right.
But they're a dollar. Like, right. I'd be very happy with a dollar. People are like, here's $1,000. Here's $100. Like, right. My kid's amazing. Like, what is happening? She's like, they just gave you too much money. I'm like, shh, just take it. Just take it.
Can you tell us what this book is about?
Yeah. So Super Sethia Saves the Day is my first children's book. I have another one coming out in spring 2021. It's called Hair Twins. But this one is a very special book. So Sethia was superhero obsessed, Wonder Woman obsessed specifically. She's like really into her. She like last year in her school picture was wearing a full Wonder Woman costume, like not even a dress, like a costume, right? And so I went to the bookstore. We have this like adorable little bookstore, Little City Books in our town. And I wanted to get her a book where there was a girl that kind of looked like her on the cover who was a superhero.
Doesn't exist.
It literally did not exist. Yeah. It blew my mind. It made me so angry. I went to the bookstore. They didn't have it. I went to Amazon. They have everything. They didn't have it.
No.
I went to the library. I was like fuming. And so she didn't know, obviously, because I was like, I'm not going to make her angry about this, but I am angry. And so I wrote the story. And I didn't think I was going to do anything with it. I just read it to her. And she asked me for it enough times. Fair enough, she asked me for it, like her name was in it, but still.
Right.
I read it to a couple of other kids who really liked it. And so then I just sent it to my literary agent on a whim. Now keep in mind, I have not given my literary agent a single thing that has been sellable in my life. Ever, ever. And I'm a professional writer, but like this is just a different world. And before like she could even process it, my agent is amazing. And before she could even process it, like I reached out to this independent publisher it's a small indie publishing house in Boston, run by a South Asian woman who I just like admired. I was like, you want to buy this manuscript? Like, I'll give it to you for nothing. She was like, I would love to buy this book. I said, the only caveat is that it's got to be in the store before my kid turns 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only caveat here. It's the only game I'm playing. She was like, sure. Sure, let's make it happen. The thing went on to like be on the Today Show because Hoda and Kathy Lee are the most amazing women on earth.
Amazing.
And like People Magazine and Us Weekly. Like it's been everywhere. And it got this like amazing play because the community really came out for us. And it's been just like a delightful story. But it was totally born out of a need to see my family, my story, my community in a children's book.
I have to be like, this has been an issue that I have been dealing with since Madeline was born.
I get it.
We've been coloring the hair on the white girls in the books black.
I know.
And I'm like, why is this what I have to be doing?
I get
it's
it.
It's just unbelievably homogenous what is out there.
Is there no books like...
No, so there's a list of these 100 diverse books and none of them are what we are looking for. Huh. Like there's, so all the Asian books are like Bessie has a mooncake. I'm like, I don't want to be teaching her about Chinese New Year. It's the only way she can see herself in a book.
You know, right. I'm so glad you said that because those books are important and they matter deeply. But there also needs to be like, that's why this book is not about being Indian. This
right.
book is not a cultural
It's just
primer.
About a girl.
It's mm-hmm. just about a girl who has a family who loves her, who leaves her superhero cape at the dry cleaner and is now convinced that this day is going to be a turd because all of the power is in the cape. How is she going to get on with her life? And that is what the book is about, right? Doesn't come up that she's Indian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you can look at the cover. There's a dad in a turban on the front of the page, on the front cover. That is
and
what
that
my
looks
husband
like
looks
you,
like.
Rocky.
That looks just like I do like a lot of school visits and the students will be like, is that you? And it's like, you want to write a book? You make sure you put yourself on the cover. Ain't nobody gonna do that for you. Do it yourself. Like, that was it. That's all. I was like, I want to be, this is my book.
Oh, I can't wait to read it tonight with Dylan. This is awesome.
But you're gonna have to send me one of these, Rocky.
I would love to.
We'll
but like,
share.
That is the... that's the move here, right?
Yeah, no, but the thing
but all is, the kids see themselves in all the stories. Not always cultural right. explainers, just stories about being children.
I agree.
And having adventure.
And I think that that is what is incredibly important about media representation. It's not about you playing a role that fits into your culture. It is about the fact that you look out and you see different color faces in the media, and they're just regular people too.
And we bring all that with us, right? Like that's what that's like what inclusion is. You just bring it all. I can't not be Indian.
Right.
I don't know what that feels like. I tried that the first 18 years of my life. It sucked.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna do that again. Like I can't not be who I am. And so I bring all of that, the refugees, the immigrants, the first generation, now raising second generation. I bring all that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I don't always have to talk about it, and I don't always lead with it, but it's there.
But it's part
of
you.
It's in everything I do because it's who I am.
All right. I love this conversation.
I told you you would.
I love Rocky.
I told you.
Rocky, obviously, we need to hear your mom's got this moment because it's the end of this first episode. So is there a moment that you can think of where you were just like,
I think we know those moments right now.
But I would love to hear like a sliver of your life. Like really tell us an anecdote.
So I think I've had a couple, I think. Not very many because normally I'm like, oh, is this what we're doing here? But I do, you know, I'll use the example from this weekend. But I, to know that a child can have a party and can walk home with a bag of gift cards and gifts, and there be no tears and no conversation and just know that those are for somebody else and like that's how she lives now really made me feel like I got this.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I think that we have created some kindness here. We have like, I've learned some, she's learned some, she's taught me some, I've taught her some, but like we got this.
It's amazing. Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you.
And thank you everybody for listening. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for more with Rocky.
Please, I'm sure you're going to leave lots of comments on this one. This is really good.
And buy the book.
And buy the book. Where do we get the book?
Amazon, bookstores, go to your local indie bookstore. They'll have it. Yeah, we will.